This episode of the Fresh Start Family Show is brought to you by our Quick Start Learning Bundle, how to build a compassionate, firm, and kind discipline toolkit that works with kids of all ages. Head to freshstartfamilyonline.com/discipline to grab your Quick Start Bundle so you can get going today on building up a strong, compassionate, discipline toolkit in your home.
Well, hey there, I'm Stella. Welcome to my mom and dad's podcast, The Fresh Start Family Show. We're so happy you're here. We're inspired by the ocean, Jesus, and rock and roll, and believe deeply in the true power of love and kindness. Together, we hope to inspire you to expand your heart, learn new tools, and strengthen your family. Enjoy the show!
Well, hey there, families. Welcome to today's episode. Terry and I are so pumped.
Because
we are sitting here with one of our favorite human beings on the planet, Susie Walton, founder of Indigo Village, extraordinary author and positive parenting advocate and mother and friend. I always say Susie is like a mix between, I feel like you're part like my sister, part like my mom, part like mentor, part like just, what have I left?
You can't put like, Susie in a box, that's for sure. Yeah.
Part like my athlete mentor that I look up to that like still kicks my butt in the ocean when we ocean swim together. I just love you and I'm so happy that you're here. So
thank you.
Yeah, thank you for joining me. So today, families, we are going to be talking about raising athletes. And Susie's joined us with her niece, Gabby, who's here too, who's going to be adding some great discussion, great points to our discussion because Gabby is 18, so she kind of represents, you're an adult now, right? But you've just recently been a kid. So thank you for being here, Gabby.
Of course, thank you.
Yes. All right, Susie, so listeners, I'm going to have Susie introduce herself here, but what we're going to really talk about when it comes to raising athletes today is three points. So number one is why it's so beneficial to get your kids into sports. But at the same time, point number two, we're going to talk about how it's a fine line, right? To balance our involvement and our so-called encouragement of their sports. There's a lot we're going to talk about there. And then number three, we're going to talk about the long-term benefits. Gabby is going to really speak to what it's been like to be an athlete, a kid who's been really involved in soccer for since she was four. So we're going to have a great discussion around it all, but let's start off with Susie having you introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit more about what you do. Tell us about Indigo Village, what you teach, and just give our listeners a little FYI of your amazing self.
So I'm Susie Walton, and I've been running parenting seminars for over 25 years now. I initially got into this whole parenting business. My boys were becoming teenagers. I have four sons, and they also were four athletes. And I found that the older they got and the bigger they got, and they're all 6'8", so they're big guys,
nuts.
The more I would yell. And it got to that place where eventually they nicknamed me Brubaker, which is a great Robert Redford movie, but Brubaker is a prison warden. And they thought that was hilarious. If I started yelling, they'd go, Brubaker! And I'm like, this is not funny! Or sometimes they dogpile me if I was yelling a lot, and they're like, we're not letting you up until you smile. I'm like, I am not smiling! This is not funny! So I finally, I need help. I was like going crazy. They're all becoming teenagers, and I was like, what am I going to do with teens?
And you're a single mom at the time,
and I'm a single
right?
mom, yeah. And I'm like, this is going to be insane for everybody. So I found out about parenting, and the first course I used to teach was redirecting children's behavior, right? And it just saved me. And my boys are like, you don't need parenting classes. You're fine. And I'm like, no, I'm crazy. They're like, no, you're so entertaining. I'm like, I'm not. I'm crazy. So I started teaching it. And, it just worked. That positive parent. They were fine.
Yeah.
I'm the one. I stopped yelling. And that was like my biggest. I'm like, if I'm raising my kids as my very best friends, which they are, and I have a myth in here, how important it is to have your kids be your friends.
And you're referring, she's referring to her book called Key to Personal Freedom, How Myths Affect Our Family Lives, which is incredible. So
thank you. So, yeah, and the whole idea is like, how am I would never treat friends like I treat my kids, yelling and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So that's the part, you know, that tuned in and toned up. And so then I had four teenage sons at the same time, and we actually, it was amazing. Like the part of teen years I got me real scared was when they're out in the world on their own, but at home I didn't have any of those kids being rude to me or anything, and we just liked each other, and we still do. And now they're all married, and I have nine little grandbabies, and I just keep teaching this course because it's just so near and dear to me, and it's a constant reminder for me how I want to live my life as a parent or as a grandparent or as a mentor, as a human.
Yes.
And so that's what got me going on that. And this whole business around athletes, like, because I had four kids through that world of athletics, I've seen some crazy stuff out there.
Yeah.
And I feel personally that it's getting crazier. Yeah. Parents who just love their kids too much in the realms of, what I mean by that is, doing too much for them. And it's insane what it's looking like in the world of sports right now, because sports is a beautiful thing, and kids need to know their bodies and be an athlete in whatever form.
Yeah.
But I feel like that fine line. There's a lot of parents that are stepping over that to the other side of doing too much for these kids.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, I can't wait to talk about all that. And listeners, just so you know, so Susie is who I studied under for, gosh, it had to have been like 6 years. I mean, I still study under Susie because Susie's also an instructor for Your Infinite Life, which is that personal development company, and just the most beautiful work ever that you hear Terry and I talk about all the time.
So, listeners will remember Pam Dunn as a guest, so that's what we're referring to.
We've had Pam Dunn on a few times, who's the owner of that company, and Susie's a teacher of that work too, so I still study with Susie. However, she's really who, you know, trained me on all the parenting stuff you guys hear me teach you guys. So she's just a wealth of knowledge, and her coursework through Indigo Village and her book is just a phenomenal resource. And we'll make sure we plug all those in the show notes, and we'll have her speak to those in the end. But yeah. All right. Let's get into our three kind of core little subtopics today. All right. So Susie, talk to us about the importance of sports and how specifically it's so good, I think, for all kids, but especially if we have kinesthetic kids. So, Susie, you were the one who taught me about kinesthetic kids 8 years ago when we had this wild little toddler, and we were like, she won't stop moving. And she was like the hitter, the kicker, the biter, the pusher, the tackle hugger.
The tackle hug. I forgot about the tackle hug.
Yes. Every time in gymnastics class, because speaking of, this is a great little story. I had her in gymnastics class at 2.5 because, you know, she needed to learn how to be in a sport with other children and sit down when she was told. And I just remember watching her behind the glass and trying to multitask when I was working corporate on my little device, and just watching her like be so excited to see her buddy, and she couldn't sit still, and to hug her she would tackle her to the ground, and then she'd get in trouble and then like I was just like, this is so stressful. But so anyways, talk to us about the importance of sports, and also how extra important it is for these little kinesthetic kids who just need to move their body and are just movers and shakers and doers.
All right, so there's basically three styles of learning. So we've got the auditory learner who learns best by listening. We have the visual kids that learn best by seeing. And then we have those kinesthetic kids that learn best by doing. So if this was like a fifth grade class right now and we were studying the pioneers going across the plains, you auditory learners out there would learn all about the pioneers through me reading you a story. You visual learners would learn best about these pioneers if I showed you a movie about the pioneers going across the plains. But you kinesthetic kids out there would learn best if we turned the whole room into the plains and you became the pioneers. You would never forget the story. Kinesthetic kids need to move to process anything. And you can, you know, a kinesthetic kid can be going all over the room. You're like, Wendy, stop it. Are you listening to me? And you'd like, yes. Like, what did I say? And you would say verbatim exactly what I told you. Mm-hmm. Because you're moving. So everything's working for you. Which, for an auditory person, you're like, What? But, you know, in the classroom, yeah, the teachers love auditory learners because they sit like little Buddhas in the class and they take in the information, and it's wonderful. It's the kinesthetic kids that are getting in a lot of trouble at school and being told to sit still, which is the worst thing we can do for them. Right. So anyways, like these hitters, kickers, and biters, they're so often being labeled as aggressive. And I'm always saying, your kid's not aggressive. They're kinesthetic.
Yeah.
You know, they bite, they kick, they hit when they're mad.
Yeah.
And then we say, use your words. And they should say, why should I use my words? Right. I just showed you how mad I was. Now you want me to tell you about it? Like, right. You know, it makes no sense to them. And of course, they need to learn how to transition over to expressing themselves without the hitting and biting. But it's a transition, and they're not aggressive. It's their mode of expressing. So, moving that into the world of sports. These kids thrive on the sports field. They thrive in the ocean. They, you know, you can have a kid that can't sit still for a second in the classroom. You put them down at the beach and have them build a sandcastle. They're locked in.
Yeah.
Because it's there's movement involved, and they're out, you know, and they're outdoors, which is medicine for all of us. Yeah. So the thing is, you want your kids in sports. You want them to be moving. I remember one time I had this kid, his mom brought him to see me. He was a 14-year-old. I don't know, he had a C on his report card or something. And he was this diehard surfer.
Yeah.
And she took surfing away from him. Mm. And by the end of the session, he had surfing back.
Right.
Because I told this, she said at the end, she told her 14-year-old son, you should be paying for this session. You're surfing, and I'm not really happy with this whole thing. But, you know, as I told you, you don't take something out of, especially from a kinesthetic kid.
Yeah.
You don't take a sport away. You don't tell them they can't go surf. You don't tell them they can't go shoot hoops outside. They need it. Like, that's their nirvana. That's where they settle in.
Right.
You know, so it's really important that these kids have some kind of outlet. And when we talk about athletes right now, you might be thinking, my kid's far from being an athlete. We're not talking about being a pro player. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about scholarships here. We're talking about a kid that learns to be comfortable in their bodies. Dan Millman, the author of The Way of the Peaceful Warrior, he talks about this. Like, it's a mastery, and you want to start young kids in a realm of an area where everything is at their size. Like, you know, like you're talking about gymnastics. It's fine for little kids because they're learning to use their bodies on pieces of structure that fits them and not something huge, right?
Yeah.
Or I was just saying, we had a bunch of my grandkids were just in Hawaii with me, and we had a whole slew of 3 and 4 and 5 and 6-year-olds and 8-year-olds like in the ocean for 2 weeks straight almost, or at least a week, bodies, just getting to know their bodies in the ocean.
Awesome.
And I got a note from my daughter-in-law the other day saying it was one of my dreams is to have their daughter know the ocean, because she's from the Midwest. Mm-hmm. And she said, in the end of that week, you could just see it in her eyes. She's got the bug. And she's comfortable in the water. You know, so it's a matter of them learning how to know their body, feel their body, and use their bodies.
Yes, that's such a great point. I was just talking to a friend a few weeks ago, and she was saying how it's hard because her son's not really like wanting to do soccer or football or basketball, and they've tried a few times, and I hear this from a lot from parents, and it's awkward because they don't want to push him, but yet they want to like get him exposed to this stuff. And then she did say, she was like, but he loves to surf and he loves to swim in the ocean. And I'm like, that's right there. That is what we're talking about. We're not talking about getting your kids in organized sports, so to speak. I mean, we're just talking about exposing them to, like you said, using their body and getting something, even if it's like just going down to the soccer field every week and kicking the ball together as a family, like some type of like, hey, this is an outlet, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's, well, there's probably lots of different motivators for parents to like want to get their kids into sports. Some of it might be like the competitive nature of it. Some of it might just be like, gosh, I need them to be in an activity so I can get the rest of my stuff done. And everything in between, and maybe some of it too is like, you know, living through the kid. I think there's a whole range of spectrum of like motivations for parents to get their kids into sports. But to your point is like get them to learn their body and what also just feels right to them, you know, because I think that's just a gift to give your kids is like, get out there, move around, get dirty. If it's a team sport, great. And you learn how to do teamwork with somebody else, great. If it's not, and it's just you versus nature, that's great too, you know? But like,
Yeah, well, I feel organized.
Get in the game.
Organized sports is way. It's not that great, guys. Like, had four kids that go through organized sports. It's not the game changer. What we're talking about here is your kids being comfortable in their bodies, climbing trees, or you know, jumping in the ocean, whatever. But not keep your kids out of organized sports as long as you can.
Yeah.
Because we have a whole generation right now of kids that are not self-directional. And one of the reasons is because we've been putting in classes since they were two or three. So from the get-go, they've been having an adult tell them to move to the right, move to the left, do this, do that. And there's no sense of how do I self-direct. And so there's a great book called Positive Coaching by, I think, Jim Thompson. And he talks about the idea of, like, keeping kids out of sports as long as you can, organize. It only takes, like, two or three years to create a budding Olympian.
Mm.
You know, I like to use my example of my son, Luke, who played in the NBA for 10 years. His first organized basketball game was at the Boys and Girls Club when he was 10 years old, and it was a snuffy program. Like this real low-key. The first time he ever played, but he had been bouncing a ball, shooting basketball since he was like two or three in his backyard with his brothers or just by himself. But it's not about getting, because once you stick them in an organized sport, no longer are they free to be creative on what works for them. And some people are out there, probably people who have organized sports, like, what are you talking about?
Right.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Parents, you're spending way too much money on your kids.
Right.
And getting them in organized sports is too young of an age. One of the top swimming programs in the country, the coach, a huge success, she'll allow kids to be in the pool, but she won't allow a child to actually compete in a swim meet till they're like nine.
Nice.
Up until nine, if they're on the swim team, they're diving for rings or racing on boogie boards. Her whole concept, get them to know their bodies. And that's what we're going to keep threading in here. Get them outside. Get them to know their bodies, but don't get so caught up in that organized support program yet.
Yeah, and listeners, you know, it's all cool to talk about, like, opinions and stuff, but Susie has such a wealth of knowledge because, like we said, she's raised four boys who are now men. One of them did become a professional athlete in the NBA and is still a professional coach to this day in the NBA. So what she's talking about is her personal experience combined with her parenting education strategies. I mean, it's what you're saying is absolutely phenomenal, because I get so many questions within my coaching program with the Bonfire of, like, just this last week. I mean, a mom is so stressed out and embarrassed that her kid had a tantrum at the soccer development class, and it's just trying for the family. They're all stressed out and they're thinking, what's wrong with my kid? He can't sit on the soccer field and do this class in this organized sports class. And it does, I see it within my membership program. It creates a lot of hardship.
How old is he?
He was 2.5.
Oh, goodness.
And then here's another story. And Terry and I have the same stories. Like, Stella went to gymnastics class and we were always stressed out that she wasn't able to sit there and listen, or she would do the tackle hugs. And then just this last, about a month ago, another Bonfire member wrote in so distraught that her kiddo, who's 7, was on a flag football team or some type of football. And there was tension amongst the teammates. And we're going to get into this next. This is a good segue. A teammate's dad took him and by the jersey, slammed him up against the fence and told him that he was an a-hole kid, that he was a bully, and that he better watch out and change or else he was going to get it. And so that opened up a whole can of worms.
Wait, that was someone else's dad?
A teammate on the football team. A
teammate's dad.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, wow. And this Bonfire member was, like, flipping out and just beside herself. So, and then she was very worried that it was creating, like, now her kiddo was going to school and she was worried that he was going to be aggressive. So, let's segue, into parents' involvement. Terry, you want to say something?
Yeah, I got one more thing before we segue.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. So we're encouraging sports, but at the same time cautioning on the team sports thing. Do you think, you know, and especially with Luke's journey in it, do you think it's because he was able to find the love of the sport without there being the, like, somebody has to lose?
At age 6, he goes, I'm going to be in the NBA.
he knew it, right?
Typically, in team sports especially, it's like somebody wins and somebody loses. Mm-hmm. But if you took that away for a little bit and gave it sounds like he got his own foundation of like, this just feels good.
Yeah.
And then he got introduced the idea of like, you're on a team that, yes, and at the end there is a winner and a loser, but he was already like, he was good, and I'm sure you weren't like, you have to win. Because I think depending on which side of, you know, as a kid you end up on, you could be a great player or not a great player, but if you're not on the right team and you have a few losing seasons and everybody's hanging their head, or there's hothead dads and moms or whatever around, it could just be a totally different experience than if just for some reason you end up on the winning team. And instead of just finding the love and the learning.
He's a gamer. Luke's a gamer. This kid would play Parcheesi and play all four corners.
Yeah.
Right.
And he knew he'd win and lose at the same time. If no one, he couldn't find someone to play board games, he'd set up four or five at a time. But and if he couldn't find one, he would just play them all places. He still doesn't like to lose.
But the thing is,
he learned because in Parcheesi or whatever game he was playing, he was going to lose three out of four. One of his people would win, right? So some way he learned this, but he just loves games, right? And he's always been that way. And another thing about this whole winning and losing, you parents out there, you cannot put your kids in sports to think you're going to teach them to be competitive. I firmly believe your kids are either competitive or not. And you're not going to be able to like get them. They're not. My oldest son, who's probably the most gifted natural athlete of all, had 0 ounce of competition. He played basketball and he played through college for the love of the game. And it would drive some of his coaches crazy because he didn't have that spark. But he didn't need the spark. He just played. So, you know, you don't be putting your kids in sports too because of competition. You're putting them in sports because there's so many more life lessons in playing a sport than winning and losing. Like the whole idea of just knowing how to get yourself back up when you do lose, right? They're just, and learning how to follow directions or learning how to step in and be a leader or a follower. I mean, there's just so much to it.
Let's chat for a hot sec, openly and honestly, about what your discipline toolkit looks like in your home right now. If you're anything like most parents, you're relying on the hand-me-down set you inherited. Timeouts, spankings, threatening of spankings, taking iPads away, 3-2-1 countdowns, groundings, taking away toys, e-bikes, iPhones, any or all of those kind of tactics that create a total relationship strain and don't even work long-term to end your child's misbehavior for good. Meaning, you might spank your child or send them to timeout today for being, air quotes, mean to their sister or disrespecting you, but then 3 days from now, they're repeating the same misbehavior, which causes you to flip your lid because you know they know better. I want to help you learn a new way so you could end the vicious cycle that's keeping you stuck as a parent and causing you to feel super frustrated that nothing is working to get your strong-willed, stubborn child to behave better. My team and I have recently completely refreshed our Compassionate Discipline Quick Start Learning Bundle to help you learn a new way to teach your kids important life lessons, a new way to help your children learn from their mistakes and take responsibility for their actions. You can just DM me the word shift over on Instagram. I'm at Fresh Start Wendy, and I'll personally send you a message with a link to download this free bundle. I'm going to help you shift out of a punishment mindset and into a compassionate discipline one where you fully trust that connection-based, firm and kind discipline tools are all you need to be a strong leader in your home who holds your kids responsible when they misbehave, but does it in a way where they are learning the vital life skills they are missing when they mess up. So again, just DM me the word shift over on Instagram. I'm at Fresh Start Wendy, or you can head to freshstartfamilyonline.com/discipline. To grab your free bundle now. I am so excited for you to shift out of feeling guilty and shameful when you lay your head on your pillow at night and shift into feeling confident and proud of the way you handled yourself as a parent, even when you were wildly triggered and upset about the mistake your child made. Okay, I'm excited for you to dive into this free resource. I'll see you in my DMs and inside the free discipline bundle.
it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Well, beautiful, and we're kind of intertwining so much about the parents involved in here.
Now that's a great segue.
Good, this is so we're so fired up. But what I just want to highlight something you said there. I get a lot of questions from families I work with that are like, "Dude, my competitive kid's driving me nuts." Just yesterday, we were coaching a sweet single mom, two kids. Her little 8-year-old is so competitive, and he freaks out, right? Like, I mean, he just gets so angry. He's dipping down to some revenge behaviors with her, and she's just trying to figure it out. She's showing up. She's doing the learning. She's incredible. But I love what you said of, like, he's always been a gamer. So that means, like, to me, it's like, some of these kids just love the game, right? We got to point that out to them, that they're not broken. They're not wrong for wanting to win. They just love the game, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's what you teach them, that that's okay. And then we got to learn that all of this other stuff comes with it, right? The losing, what do we do with that emotion? What do we do with that anger? I've heard you tell so many stories, Susie, about how you mentored your boys on learning to lose
I didn't do that well because I don't like losing either. I remember when Luke was in second grade, I went to a workshop with this teacher back in Boston, and she said, "You should let your kids win board games because it'll help build their self-esteem." And I'm like, that just didn't even feel normal to me.
Because, yeah, you know, like, no.
So from that point on, I'm like, Luke and I be playing a game of Monopoly or something or whatever we're playing, and I'm like, well, do you want me to let you win to help your self-esteem, or do you want me to go for it? Like, you know, like your teacher said, or you want me to just go for it? And he goes, go for it. I'm like, okay, but if I beat you, you got to, like, handle it, or we're done playing.
Right.
You know?
Oh,
and so,
that's cool.
Yeah, so, I mean, all my kids had to be trained how to back it off. But I feel like it worked, because as much as they can't stand losing, they were never poor sports. They never got in fights on the courts. You know, they never, like, just were mad and just beat up on, you know what I mean? Like, they didn't like it, and they would get quiet and take it in a little bit. But it didn't get to that place where I had to take them off the court.
Right.
But you parents that have those little kids right now that are having tantrums on the court, take them off and leave. They're telling you that emotionally they're not ready.
Yes, yeah.
You know, listen to them by their action, not what they're telling you.
Oh, I love that.
Great.
I love
so it. So now we're, now, so we've talked about the importance of sports. Now it's like, okay, your kids are in sports. Now as parents, you're involved.
Oh, like, yeah. How do we keep this involved,
you know, look like?
Well, being involved looks like, Gabby will tell you when she speaks about her parents, that's being involved, going to games, being there to support them. Being over-involved, are you parents out there who are spending every last dime you've ever had on your kids, on their soccer, and their what it costs to have private coaches and all that, in hopes of getting a scholarship? Mm-hmm. I always tell parents, quit doing all that and save all that extra money. Put them on a rec game where it's very cheap, very inexpensive, and save all that extra money for their tuition for college, because most of your kids are not playing college sports.
Right.
Very few are. You know, and so save your money. Quit acting like your kid, because if your kid is the next whoever, they're going to make it regardless.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan didn't start basketball till he was a sophomore, and he didn't even
make a team.
No, I mean, and there's just these stories all over the place. If your kids got it, they've got it. You don't have to add. I didn't hire trainers for my kids. That would have been wacko crazy stuff, right? So it's just like, it's apparent, like, I was at a game once, and my 12-year-old niece was playing soccer, and it was timeout, and one of her teammates yelled at her dad, throw me my water bottle. And he hopped up out of his chair, went and got his girls, and rolled it out in the middle of the court, soccer field. Yeah. And I'm just looking like, what?
Right.
This little 12-year-old should be going over here and getting her own water, or just be thirsty. Like,
right.
That's not her dad's job. One more thing, and then we'll move on. This thing just drives me crazy from the beginning. I don't know if you soccer kid people are doing this anymore, but back in the day, parents used to do the tunnel. And when my niece was 12, who's now 25.
I used to love that, though.
Good for you. Most kids did, because it's just more, you know, why not? I mean, I think I would too as a kid. Yeah. But I'm saying, parents, stop. It's their sport. You paid for them to be here. You're bringing them all snacks. You're making, you're ruining your Saturday by being there. Like, your whole day's gone. And now you're going to stand up at the end of the game and let them, and do a tunnel for them? Let them do their own tunnel.
Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? That.
Like, what, just back off a little bit.
But imagine how the kids feel.
Yeah, but see, it's a very, that's the great thing, because you're right, but it's very external. Kids right. are getting the feeling, the good feeling from a parent, is rather than inside of themselves. So it's a very fine line between external and internal. Mm-hmm. And that's, and I'm glad you're saying that, Gabby, because that's what kids are like, well, yeah, it feels good. Right. But yes, feeling good is an inside job.
Yeah.
Not because your parents are doing this tunnel. You know, we want to feel good because our parents even showed up. You know right. what I mean?
Well, that's interesting, because that's probably something that a lot of parents who think they're just being very positively supporting mm-hmm. within the sports community, they're probably blind to it. And because it seems to feel good for them and it seems to feel good for the kids. Yeah. So you're like, it must be good.
Right.
But you, it sounds like it's like, well, you, unbeknownst to you, you're kind of taking away one aspect of it, that they could make their own tunnel. They could start like feeling good, you know, and more motivated from within than being like, oh, my dad was here. And then God forbid, maybe the parents that aren't there, the kid might be like, all the other parents are here, but mine aren't. It's like, take it away completely, yeah. and it is their thing.
Or you could be like my niece Katie, who would look at me sitting over by the fence, and I'm like, what? I'm not standing up. But I would tell her, hey, I'm not standing. I'm not doing your tunnel thing. So just know I'll be sitting over here on the sideline watching you all do that tunnel. I told her, she would laugh. She'd look at me. I'm like...
I remember the only problem I had with my mom was she, when I was younger, she would cheer too loud. And I'd be like, Mom, I love you, and I love you so much, but that's embarrassing, you know?
Right.
She's a thick accent. She's screaming to me. I'm like, she's like, go, Gabrielle. And I'm like, but in like a Romanian accent. So it's like, that's my mom over there, you know?
There's no hiding who it was right now.
So I was like, you know, covered.
See, that's
like
a great thing too, that, yeah. you know.
But it was like a cute embarrassment. Like, I wasn't like mad at my mom. I was just like a kid, and I was like, Mom, you're embarrassing me. Come on now. Yes. I want to play soccer. But I remember my 14 years of playing soccer, I've seen lots of parents, and some of them, like, they want to live the life as their kids. Yeah. So they didn't grow up being an athlete. So they grow up watching their kids and living their life through them.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's too much, you know. You have to find that balance.
Yeah, yeah, and that's so interesting. And Susie, give us just a little sneak peek into, like, what is behind that? Like, that's, I feel like it's a little bit more like your Infinite Life coaching side of things.
Bottom line, like, there's a great story of a dad who had, when he was a kid, his dad would never go out and throw a baseball catch, you know, play catch with a baseball with his son, or him as the boy. And he always told himself, when I'm a dad, I will be out there every day throwing balls with my son. He gets married, he's got a kid who's 8 or 9 years old, and come on, kid, you know, son, let's go out and throw the ball. He's like, I don't want to throw a ball, I want to play Legos. And he gets so mad, like, oh, you have no idea what you're missing out on. Like, this is what I dreamed of. And so in that moment, you can see
yeah.
where he was stuck. But you yeah. see it in all the sports. Mm-hmm. Those over-involved parents are normally the ones who didn't get to where they wanted to be as an athlete, so they're doing it through their kids. Like, you know, if you look at the NBA, I just know NBA because of my kids' basketball, but if you look at the NBA players who are playing professional, mm-hmm. the ones who have dads that actually played in the NBA too, they're so grounded, mm. and they're not, you know, their parents just sit there, like my kid's dad, mm. he used to fall asleep during the game sometimes. All the guys, you know, he what?
Right.
The adults who play these sports, they don't get crazy about it. It's the ones who didn't get to play that are crazy.
Yeah, who's the dad right now that's nuts?
Oh, Ball.
LeVar.
Yeah.
His dad never played, right?
Who knows what he did? I'm not going to talk about that.
I think his dad was a player, right?
I don't know.
That would be an interesting...
I think I heard he said he could beat Michael Jordan or someone on a one-on-one, or I don't know who he did. But that's, you know, not right. that I want to talk about him, but
yeah.
that's another example of a very... Like, back in the day, it got to a point where parents would call high school coaches about their kids playing time or not playing, right?
Right.
And that was, like, bad.
Yeah.
And then it got to, like, now I heard, like, parents are calling college coaches, why aren't you playing my kid? Well, that man has now taken it into the world of professional sport, calling out the coaches or the team and saying, why aren't you playing? You know, you should be doing something different. Why aren't you playing my son? You know, like, it's taken it, and it's a beautiful example of how parents have crossed the line and gotten way too involved, because that kid, his son, who plays on that team, is a really sweet, good kid that just wants to play basketball.
Right.
It's all he wants. He just wants to play basketball, you know?
Yeah.
So he's learned just to let his dad be his dad. But in general, it's a great example for all you parents out there. You know, it's a fine line. It's your kid's sport.
Yes, yeah.
You know, go support him. You know, cheer him on. But don't be the screaming lady or the screaming... Don't be screaming at the referees. Don't be screaming at the coaches.
Yeah.
I have a friend whose 12-year-old daughter was playing soccer, and her dad was the coach. And I asked her one day, because I'm always asking kids their thoughts on this stuff. And I go, hey, how's it to have your dad as a coach? She goes, I love my dad being my coach. I go, that's great. She goes, but what I don't love is on the way home, he nitpicks every mistake, everything I did wrong. It makes me not want to play the sport.
Yeah.
And I'm like...
Actually, I have a friend. Her name was Eris. So I grew up with her for a while. She... best athlete ever. Like, so fast. Like, she did track and soccer. Her grades were amazing. But then later I found out that she would come home and her dad would literally pressure her every night. Like, make her perfect. She was like, you have to get good grades. You can't do this. You have to do this. Like, and I remember one point, because this is actually a real story... He literally, like, ran her out. Like, she moved to New Mexico because, and stayed with her mom.
Yeah.
Because she couldn't handle it anymore.
It's too much.
Yeah, it's too much.
If you hold your kid to a certain standard, sometimes they can't do it anymore, you know?
Yeah.
It's hard.
Well, and I want to hear, like, Gabby, let's talk about the positive of growing up with sports, and then some things that, like, you navigated that were hard, if you could just kind of think of both of those. But for me, I know growing up, I was a springboard diver my whole life, and it's cool talking about all this and reflecting on it, because my parents were super supportive the whole time and never got over involved. And it was a beautiful experience as a diver. I didn't stay through college. Like, I decided I'd rather hang out with the love of my life, and I fell in love with Terry, and I just was like practicing 6 hours a day or hanging out with Terry. And I just, at like 16, I decided to stop diving. To this day, I can still crank some out on the diving board.
But you kept it in your life.
Yeah. I kept it in my life. I did. I did keep it in my life. I can still go get on the diving boards. And
you
I
feel turned like it into a career.
I did. I turned it into a career. Yeah. And I feel like I'm almost a stronger diver now. But back to, like, my parents, it was so cool to now, after this discussion, look at that. And they never did any of that. And so it was just joyful my whole life. Like, the strife that I had or the challenges were all, like, internal. Like, you know, am I going to win? Am I good enough? Like, but I worked through it. That's part of the benefits of sports, is like you get to learn that kind of stuff. But that's cool now, realizing that was a great experience, because they were there. They supported me. They would get up at 5 a.m. and take me to the diving meets and be the cooker for the snack bar and the team manager or whatever, without being like over involved. So that was really cool. So Gabby, tell us about, like, after, you know, 11 years, it sounds like, so from the age of 4 to 16, you said you were a soccer player? 4 to 17, so 13 years.
13 years, yep.
Tell us what you think some of the benefits were, because I know it seems like for me, getting to the point where I was in high school and was really strong and good at something, I had a lot of self-esteem from that. And now looking back as an educator of parenting, like, knowing that a lot of our behavior is behind, like, the feeling of belonging, the feeling powerful. Like, I feel like I had those two things because of that sport. I felt powerful. I felt like I belonged, at least in that setting. So do you see, like, looking back, is there anything like that you see?
No, for sure. Like, I remember growing up, like, when I look back now, like, I had a good family. Sometimes organized sports can be good for people. They do, like, lead you. They can give you a sense of leadership in a way, too. So, like,
I think all organized sports do that, actually.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. For sure. But
yeah, it's a parent's idea.
I feel
like
it depends on the person, too. So, like, some people can just go out and surf. I mean, some people can go out and play soccer, and they have that team to lean on.
Yeah.
And that's what it's really cool, because I would come to practice every day. I had a second family, and that was 12 people, and then my coach. And I still look back at my coach, and he's, like, my idol, you know?
Awesome,
stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it's amazing, and I grew up, I have nice calves now, thank
goodness
for soccer.
Yes, me too!
I think I always have, like, a sense of athleticism from playing soccer my whole life. First, I don't know if my metabolism was from soccer, but I remember I'd come home after a soccer game, and I'd have not the 6-inch from Subway, but the 12.
12, yes!
Because I could just do it, you know? I'd come home every time, and I'd be like, can I get my sandwich from Subway? Stuff like that. But
that's cool.
I do look back at it and I loved it because I would always be tan, have some tan lines, you know, so right. little things like that. But there's also some negative things.
Wait, just, I love girls athletes.
Yeah.
We take it to the whole level, I think. I don't know how many guys would think about that tan business, but...
Oh, that's what I was just thinking.
I think it takes a very special person to coach girls sports.
Yeah.
Right.
You know? That's awesome.
Yeah. You wouldn't even think about it back then, but like now thinking about it, I was living my best life. I had good friends. One thing would be like, I wouldn't have as many like hanging out with my friends during the summer, during the weekends because of soccer.
Yeah.
So it does take a lot of your time. It takes a lot of your parents' time too. So I look back at it and I'm so thankful. So if they were listening, I love you guys.
Aww, awesome.
But it was just, you know, it was a lot. Like traveling all the time. Like I've been to Oregon, I've been to Vegas, I've been to a lot of places. So.
Hey families, I'm pausing this episode just to make sure you know where you can go. If you want to join me for Kate Northrup's Relaxed Money Financial Healing Workshop happening April 23rd through 25th, it's completely free. And it's a 3-day live stream event where she's going to teach you all about nervous system regulation and how to identify where in your life you might be operating from a lack mindset when it comes to your finances, and also just become more conscious of maybe some limiting beliefs that you have around money, and also really become intentional about what you want to hand down to your children when it comes to generational cycles around finances and money. So you can head to freshstartfamilyonline.com/relax. Or you can head over to Instagram, I'm at Fresh Start Wendy, and just shoot me a DM with the word relax, and I will help you get registered for Kate's free workshop. But I am a proud affiliate partner of Kate's programs because she just really has radically transformed my own life, and I'm just so excited for you also to learn with Kate all that she has to teach about nervous system regulation and healing and abundance when it comes to your own finances. All right, enjoy, and I will personally be at every single day of that workshop. So when you're there, make sure you say hello to me in the comments because I'll be there also learning with Kate. All right, freshstartfamilyonline.com/relax. Enjoy.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Yeah, there really are so many benefits, and it's just like anything else. You just got to be proactive with it and make sure you're intentional about it, and then just catch yourself, right? As parents, when we're raising kids in sports, it's like, just be willing to catch yourself and go, seems like I've crossed the line a little bit here, or all these things we've talked about. Be willing to just look at it and go, you know what? I don't think my kid's ready. He's having a tantrum at 2.5 on the field, or at 7. He's not able to handle it yet. So we're going to pull back for a little bit, and we're just going to take a break for a season, and then we can try again next season.
Yeah. And then go hike Torrey Pines or something.
Yes.
It doesn't mean they don't do sports. Yeah. It's just their own kind of sport, mm-hmm. right?
Right. Yes.
There's so many little things like skateboarding or like little things, tennis or like weird golf. Like golf, you know? Like, do you know how many scholarships there are for golf? Nobody knows about it because nobody plays it.
Right.
So, like, you go in high school, you're good at it, you get a scholarship, full ride for college.
That's awesome.
Because it's nobody knows, you know?
Yeah.
There's little things like that.
And I love that you talked about your level of parents' involvement, you know, at the game, making sure you got there, you know?
No, they were always there for me.
Your mom and dad, too, being there, being the cooks and being the team moms. I'm one of 10 kids. I felt very supported in my sports because I was an athlete my whole life. But my parents rarely made it to a swim meet or a volleyball game. When they did, I was like, oh my God, my dad's here.
Yeah.
But my mom always made sure we had a ride.
That's
She'd
cool.
find a carpool for us.
Yeah.
Because she just couldn't take it with 10 kids. But in that realm, I felt totally supported. But again, it was an inside. I feel like we're all talking, and probably you too, Terry, like that. It was an inside job. We played the sport for the love of the game. Mm-hmm. And we weren't totally concerned about all this outside noise from our parents. And parents, if you're wondering, am I doing too much or not for my kid? Think of how you do friendships.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are you always making sure all your friends have snacks and, you know, are happy and you're organizing everything for them? If you did or you do, you know you're exhausted out there.
Right.
And it's the same thing if you're doing that with your kids and their sports. I see these parents when their kids are high school kids or in college now, and they don't sit there and go, oh, thank you, mom and dad, for making sure my uniforms are washed and making sure my water bottle was filled. They just expect their parents to keep doing it for them.
Right.
And the parents are like, all these times. in all these years, I've done all this for you. I'm like, well, why did you, first of all, why were you doing all that for them? And now you expect, like, they don't know what they don't know. It's like the kid that didn't know it was important to have a dad throw a baseball every day. It's what they know in their world. Yeah. So just think of how you do friendships.
Yeah.
Because you parents out there who are being so overzealous when it comes to this sports thing, you're being too overzealous. You're doing too much. And it is not allowing your kids to have the joy, the internal joy of playing a sport. That's, you know, it's as simple as that.
Yes. And one last thing, and then I want you to end us out with where we can find more of your goodness. But it's so awesome hearing from you too, Susie, because you still are such an inspirational athlete to me. So you're on the volleyball court when you're not injured. A few times a week, you're in the ocean, either body surfing or, you know, swimming. Susie and I swim to the pool here in Encinitas out in the ocean. We try to swim a few times a week in the summer when it's warm. But I mean, you've kept it up like all these years, you know, and I think that's what we want for all of our kids. We want them to have a lifelong care of their body, you know, and to be able to tap into that, right? And to not just have it be like organized sports and then you're done, because I think you've told a lot of great stories about how when you pressure kids and when you put too much like angst around it, whether it's a musical instrument or it's a sport, you got to practice, you got to do this. A lot of times the joy gets lost and you're done. Once you quit, you're not like staying with it. And so you are a beautiful model of like just, you know, doing what it takes to just make sure you find the joy in it, because it doesn't matter if you're 20, 40, 60, it's still a beautiful process to make sure you're taking care of your body. And I see you, like, you're just like me. When you get injured, you're like, well, crap, I can't be on the volleyball court, but so we're getting in the ocean. Like, you'll do it. Like,
I haven't started Pilates this year.
Right.
I was so desperate for an exercise. Yes. And I love Pilates now, but this is after years of people saying, you got to do Pilates. I'm like, I'm not doing an indoor sport. But I'm a Pilates queen now.
Nice.
I like it too, and I never thought I resisted for
that indoor business, right?
Yeah.
But for kinesthetic people, we don't stop being kinesthetic as adults.
Yeah.
I can't just sit around and not do an exercise. It makes me really grumpy.
Yes. Yeah.
And so it's like us kinesthetic people, that's why for you guys with those kinesthetic kids out there, get them to, they don't have to be any scholarship people, but get them to know how to swim so they can swim their entire life.
Yeah.
Get them in the, you know, especially for us that live in California, get them on the beach, start bumping the volleyball just so they have it for riding bikes.
Yeah.
The things that they can do forever in a day, hiking, you know, they don't have to be top notch, but just the younger we can instill those kind of things in them, it becomes more of a lifelong.
Yeah. Cause pattern. I do get a lot of families who are like, my kid's just an artist, or my kid. And I'm always still like, and there's gotta be something that you can help them get into that'll help them be in their bodies.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
I just to encourage, I think in the end, we're trying to create healthy habits in our kids, whatever those might be. And the sport is just another one of those things. And introducing them to something that they will hopefully potentially just love and do for the love of it. And if there's competition involved, sometimes it's somebody on the other side of it. But to try to keep that competition within themselves too, just to do better than they did the last day and not have it all be about the scoreboard or things like that too. So that they want to just keep going and challenging themselves however far they're comfortable doing it. Because, you know, I think for you, Wendy, like you talked about springboard diving, you acknowledge, I mean, you wanted to hang out with me and I, whatever. you said you hit a ceiling. You said that there was a platform and there's a certain dive that you just became like, it wasn't fun anymore.
The fear element for me.
As soon as that starts to happen and that becomes the thing that I have to do in order to stay in this sport, it was like, I'm that's not fun for me anymore.
Yes.
But you reinvented it in, you also were a coach of kids diving and you were like, maybe I'll turn this into a business where I just keep doing that because that feels good. I'm still around the sport. I'm still doing the sport, but I don't have to do a 2.5 off of a platform and risk, you know, breaking
internal
something.
Bleeding from going to the hospital. Yeah,
exactly.
Which I saw many friends do.
So I think it's just, you know.
Yeah, that's a good point.
If the intention could be more around like, take this as far as you want, and hopefully that's your whole life, but it's at whatever level you want. It's like, you know, surf small waves. Do you have to surf the biggest wave? Do you have to go out and win the competition? No. Do what feels right.
Mm-hmm.
But try to do it for your life so that You know, that you're just going to stay moving. You're just going to, and it's going to fill you up and just benefit your whole life.
Like in the end, it's going to be you on the field or in the pool. So it's, you have to make yourself happy, you know?
Yes, exactly.
Even if it's not playing that sport anymore. Like my last couple years of playing soccer, I was definitely not playing for me anymore. It was for my dad. Because, you know, I mean, but he would totally support me if I quit. I just kept doing it for him.
Right.
Type stuff, you know, because he was so happy. He loved watching me play, taking pictures of me every time. There are definitely like 10,000 pictures of me on that computer at home because he loves it every game. And I love it because I can just look through it game by game, you know.
Cool. Yeah. But yeah, once you acknowledge, like, hey, it's time.
Yeah.
I'm going like, to listen to myself now.
I would still love to go play soccer on the field with him, you know, just for fun. But
that's cool. Oh, I love it. And that's what Susie teaches us through the work you teach is really like what the I think one of the key things we're talking about here is just this intrinsic motivation is teaching kids to listen to themselves, to find joy from within. So Susie, tell the listeners where they can find you, your website, your courses, your book, everything. Tell us where we can find you.
You can find me with Wendy a lot in the ocean. After that, you can find me at Indigo Village. It's indigovillage.com. I run my parenting seminars, The Joy of Parenting, which Wendy is also certified to teach. I have a great podcast called Hashtag Raising Athletes, where we interview a lot of different people and how it was for them being raised in the world of sports and, you know, if they have kids, how's it going, you know, moving on down to their kids and how do they handle that whole, you know, athletic world. So, yeah, hashtag raising athletes, indigovillage.com, or in the ocean at Moonlight Beach with Wendy Snyder.
Or with your grandkids.
Or with my grandkids, Andy. We're my niece here. You know, and one that thing that Gabby was just saying about her dad, you know, like the, you can just tell, like, she had the joy of soccer in you, and your dad's involvement with taking pictures was like a bonus. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the reason she played, but it was a bonus. It was like the icing on the cake.
Yeah.
But she was going to eat the cake anyway. So she was you know, so parents, it's not enough. It's not a, I mean, I went to every one of my kids, not everyone, because I had a lot of them playing at one time, but at least a quarter of every one of my kids' games on the weekends. It's not saying you can't go and be there to support them. It's just that fine line. And I always like to use the guidelines. How do you do relationships?
Yeah.
Okay. It's like you want to keep it very balanced, whether it's your kids or your spouses or your friends.
Yeah, which is a journey for us all. Yeah. And that's something we all have to find. So awesome. Well, thank you, ladies. That was such a good discussion. Thanks for being here.
For more info and links about everything we talked about in today's episode, head to freshstartfamilyonline.com/18.
For more information, go to freshstartfamilyonline.com. Thanks for listening, families. Have a great day.
All right, listeners, that's a wrap. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I enjoyed recording it for you. As we wrap up here, don't forget to DM me the word shift or head to freshstartfamilyonline.com/discipline to grab your free discipline quick start learning bundle. You'll get immediate access to download our extensive learning guide where I'll share 5 ways you can ditch the old school hand-me-down punishment mindset beliefs and thoughts that are causing you to react like a volcano instead of respond like the firm, kind, respectful teacher you are at your core. And then you'll also get immediate access to my on-demand workshop where I'll teach you our 3 core Fresh Start Family strategies that make up a strong, compassionate, discipline toolkit, as well as my favorite logical consequences that not only work with kids of all ages, but do wonders to unite you with your child and strengthen your relationship, even in your kids' worst moments. So pop on over to Instagram right now and just shoot me a DM with the word shift and I'll send you a personal link to download that bundle right away. Or you can head to freshstartfamilyonline.com/discipline to get access immediately. All right. Thanks for listening and I'll see you inside that free bundle and also inside the next episode.